On this Thanksgiving weekend, we'd like to remember a little-known aspect of our country's founding. Of course, we've just finished celebrating the moment when European settlers shared a feast with Native Americans. But sometime afterward, European adventurers, mostly fur traders, began having children with Native American women. Their descendants are mixed-race people known as the Métis. They preserve their legacy in music, as Teresa Schiavone reports.
The French word Métis was first used here by Jesuit missionaries in the mid-1600s to describe the children born to fur trade European men and Native American women. It meant mixed blood, mixed breed, or mongrel, and Montana-based folklorist Nicholas Vrooman says that's just how these people were treated by both white and Indian societies.
They didn't fall into any category as it all shook out after the Indian Wars. The Blackfeet, the Assiniboine, the Gros Ventre, the Cheyenne, the Crow, they have reservations. And the Métis were left out. These were half-breeds. They were illegitimate, not born of sanctified unions. And in the English system of law, property passes through legitimate lines. And these people had no legitimate claim on the land.
Vrooman says by the early 1800s, the Métis were the largest population group on the Great Plains. They had a semi-military social system for policing themselves and the fur trade, and they developed their own culture.
It mixes buffalo meat with French gravies. It mixes European nouns in their language and Aboriginal verbs coming from their mothers. It mixes beadwork with tartan. It mixes moccasins and drum dance with jigs and fiddles.
Years ago, Nicholas Vrooman staged a Métis cultural revival in Helena on the anniversary of the 1885 hanging in Canada of Métis leader and Montana-based schoolteacher Louis Riel.
He said, "My people will sleep for 100 years, but when they awake, it will be the artists, poets, and storytellers who will bring back their culture."
In his effort to refocus attention on Métis culture, Vrooman brought together artists from across the country, dancers who performed Métis jigs, musicians who still perform in the old style, and Daryl Anger, best known for his past work with David Grisman and the Turtle Island String Quartet. Anger is not Métis, but he's a big fan of the music.
There were no fences or roads, so the music is a lot the same way. It's got this fenceless quality. The melodies tend to just go wherever and they meander. And you can hear the Scots, Irish, and the Breton tunes that are familiar to most fiddle players, but they always take this weird left turn, or there's some kind of little thing going on. You really hear the Native American kind of random, kind of fenceless kind of quality. For instance, there's a very subtle thing in a tune called Gray Owl. It might sound. And that would be normal, but this has got that extra beat in it.
Métis music was born during the first interactions between Native Americans and whites. It was an established music form by the time Lewis and Clark traveled down the Missouri River with their crew, known as the Corps of Discovery. One of them, says folklorist Nicholas Vrooman, was fiddler Pierre Cruzat.
Half of the Corps of Discovery, Charbonneau, who's Sakakawea's husband, Cruzat, the fiddle player, Reveille, all of these guys, all of the French names on the roster of the Corps of Discovery, the voyageurs, who are they? They're the Métis. And the great captains were wise enough to utilize Cruzat and ask him to pull out his fiddle and ask the men to jig while he was fiddling. And this would ameliorate the tension, the Indians being fascinated with this music, and would come into camp and they would dance together.
Thank you. As the West became increasingly settled by whites, the Native American tribes were forced onto reservations. The Métis, with no claim to the land, were pushed to the periphery. They moved to the edges of white society, and they turned their culture inward. Today, one of the few places actively involved in trying to pass on Métis culture is the Ojibwa Indian School on the Turtle Mountain Reservation in North Dakota.
It's like rippling water.
Youngsters from across the community and across the country come to learn. Jamie Fox came to Turtle Mountain from the Fort Belknap Reservation in central Montana.
When I first started playing, we didn't really know about Métis music until my mom kind of dug back into her past and found out who she was, and then we found out that this music is related to her, so we kind of played for her.
Jamie's mom, Crystal, came to Turtle Mountain with her children. She says their interest in the music has helped her appreciate who she is.
When I was a girl, ever since I could remember, it was like half-breed or some I won't mention, you know, and it was not a good thing. Other people tried to make you feel shameful, and they did make me feel that way, and it was something I thought I could hide. But after I grew up and looked in the mirror, you know, I could not deny who I was. But now, this music with my children is truly a gift from God. I think that's His way of making up to me of all the pain that I went through. And I like who I am. I'm the best of everything. I'm Indian and I'm French and I have it all.
The Canadian government finally acknowledged the 300,000 Métis living in Canada as a distinct Native people in 1982. So far, the more than 50,000 Métis living in the United States have not been recognized by the U.S. government. For NPR News, I'm Teresa Schiavone.